This is tape number 1064/15. It's the 15th lesson of second year Greek, sponsored by the Bible for Today, 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is the Baptist Bible Seminary, the teacher, Dr. D.A. Waite, director of the Bible for Today. And we're going to take up on this January the 20th, 1983, the Gospel of John, chapter 9:25 through 9:41. And we'll be reviewing Dana and Maddie from the beginning pages of 59 clear through page 180 in this particular class. Let's begin our class with a word of prayer this evening. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, for this time we can study this language and Thy Word. We thank Thee for the Savior of whom it speaks. And as we look at John chapter 9, as the blind man has been healed and the Lord Jesus has healed him, we thank Thee that Thou hast healed our eyes, blinded in sin and blinded because of self. And we ask, Lord, that Thou would enable us to understand these verses and the language. Help us as we review our Dana and Maddie at the end. Bless each of our families represented here tonight. Help the students, Lord, as well as the teacher. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, we have John 9:25 to 9:41 tonight. And our review of Dana and Maddie, that would be pages 59 through 180, as time permits. And then next week we'll have our exam, our semester exam. That'll mark the end of our time together. All right, let's go on with
next week.
Next week
will be the exam.
Yes, we have.
So
the
then
exam.
I should not come next week.
Okay, if you'd like to sit that one out, that'd be fine. Or whatever.
Well, I would be sleeping. Nobody would be talking. Only I hear scratching.
Scratching. That's all. Okay. All right, let's begin. Ruth, why don't you start out with us there for 9:25. Let me play it first, and then you can read it if you would, please.
John 9:25. Apekete un ekenos kai epen, e hamartolostis den huk oida, hen oida, hati tu flos on arti blepo.
Very crisp, isn't it? Go ahead, Ruth. Listen, Ruth, would you like to have him have another poke from the basement?
Oh, sorry.
Or do you have a chair on? Okay, fine. If you can see, because I know your eyes are blank. It's just a few.
I'm perfectly fine.
Okay, very good.
Apokrithe un ekenos kai epen e hamartolosisten uk oida en oida hoti tu flos.
Not and, but hen. So that'd be that rough reading.
Hen oida. Hati to floss on arti flippo.
All right.
Then that one answered and said, if he is a sinner, I know not. One thing.
That's right, because of neuter, see? Haste me a hand.
One thing I know, that being blind, I am now seeing.
Mm-hmm. I'm now seeing, just now seeing, huh? All right, the own, of course, is what?
That's
participle of Amy. Okay. And I guess that's all you've been, of course, the heirs of Krithi. We know these, Noida, perfect. This one looks like a present. Any questions on that? One thing I know, he really was crisp. Hanoida, Hati to Blason, having been or in that sense, being blind throughout my whole life, arti just now, I am seeing. I see now. Very clear. Any other questions or comments on that one? All right, Bill, would you take the second one, please? 26.
John 9:26. Epon de auto talen ti epoese soi pos enoixe su tus ophthalmus.
Okay.
Epon de auto Pollen T a poise.
Poise. So here's, of course, your enclitic. It's got two accents. It's a little bit hard to work that in. Poise. So, go ahead.
Pos a noide.
Enoixe.
No, oh, I'm sorry. Su tus ophthalmus. Ophthalmus.
Ophthalmus. All right.
But they said to him, again, shall we make, or
what shall we do?
Okay.
For thee,
post
to thee,
where?
Or post how?
How?
Mm-hmm.
What is that verb there?
From an oigo, to open. An oigo, to open. This is
the ears.
An oikse, the ears, yes. First ears of an oigo.
To open?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how? How open your eyes?
There was what actually we translate that shall. It's not a future, Bill. I think I led you astray at poise. That's first heirs, poio. See, so it's not what shall I do for thee, but what did he? What did he do? You see, for thee or to thee? You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
What did he do for thee, or what did he do to thee? Ti epoese soi. It looks like a future, but it's poieo, it'd be poieso. But this is an epoi, you got the augment. And the epoieso has to be a past tense because of the augment, the epsilon, the beginning of it. So it has to be aorist instead of the future. All right, where were we? I forget. How did he open to
the eyes of your eyes?
The eyes of you, your eyes. Mm-hmm. All right, any questions on that? We've taken up epoieso is what then again, Bill? Just for.
Eris,
Poyeo, and Ein Oiksen, Ein Oiksen.
Eris of Anoigo.
Anoigo, all right. The first Eris of Anoigo. We got the augment and the Xi from the Oig, gs, the gamma and the sigma together make a Xi. There's your sigmatic Eris with the change of G to Xi. Gamma to Xi. All right. Any questions or comments further on 26? All right, Ruth, 9:27, please.
John, 9:27. Apekrite autois, epon humane ede, kai uk ekusate, ki talen telete akue.
No, keep going.
Me kai humes telete autu matetai genestai.
Okay, is that the end? I think it is.
He said to them, I said to you already, and ye did not hear. What again do ye want to hear? Is that what
they said? What? Yeah, why? See, teeth can be either what or why. In this case, it's probably why. See.
Do you want to hear? It is not true.
Why, you know, why do you wish to hear again? See?
Good.
You know, you wish to hear another time, a second time?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It is not true, is it, that ye are willing to be his disciple?
Mm-hmm. May, expecting a negative answer. All right. Apokrithe is what, Ruth?
Apokrithe is.
Apokrithe?
Comes from
apokrinomai. Apokrinomai, and it's what?
Is it.
The theta eta.
Does that make it a passive?
Yes, aorist passive. See, theta is aorist passive. Theso with theta eta sigma would be the future passive, but theta of the aorist passive. Apon is aorist, of course, ekusate, aorist of aku, right? Thelata is what?
That's present tense.
Present. Thelo, yeah. Thelo. Akuane again.
Infinitive.
Infinitive, present of aku, and genestai.
Is the infinitive.
Infinitive, what the tense would that be?
That has the passive, doesn't it?
Yes, it's middle or passive. Mm-hmm. And since it's
and
a certain.
It has to be
aorist. So it wouldn't be aorist passive, be aorist middle, because aorist passive would be a different form. Get the gen, because it's of genomai, and you got the gen root, so it would be the aorist rather than the present. Okay, any other questions on that one there? Are you willing to be his disciple, you really want to be? And they were really incensed at that moment. All right, next verse, Bill, please.
John 9:28. Eloi doresan un auton, kaepon su e matetes ekenu, hemes de tu mosaos esmen matetai.
All right.
Therefore, what is that verb?
They made fun of him, they railed at him from Loidoreo. It's the first aorist act of Loidoreo, El Loidoresan. They scoffed at him.
Right. It would be. Therefore, they scoffed at him and said, "You are that disciple." Let's see.
You are Mathetes Ekenu. Genitive Ekenu.
Is that that disciple?
You are the disciple. Ha Mathetes. That would be the regular nominative. You are the disciple Ekenu.
Okay.
Notice the Ekenu ending? Genitive? Mm-hmm. The disciple of him or of that one.
Okay.
You see, you have the latter.
Excuse
me, the former Ekenu.
But we,
in other words, you are a disciple of him, you are his disciple. But on the other hand, that
we are the disciple of Moses.
That's right. To Mathetai of Moses. We are disciples, plural, Mathetai, right?
Mm-hmm.
Disciples, all right, and you are a disciple singular, Mathetes. All right, is that the end of that verse? I guess it is it not?
Yeah.
All right, any further questions on that? That's 29, was it?
28.
And Loidoresan was what, Bill, again?
Heiress of
Loidoreo. Mm-hmm. To be railing somebody, to be scoffing at someone. All right, so we are Moses' disciples. They went all the way back to Moses and not anything to do with this man.
Any particular reason why they would have said Moses instead of Abraham? It seems like in the past they said Abraham. I guess they're just saying.
Well, that's right. In chapter 8, they were raining it on Abraham, and I guess they got put in the place with Abraham. Now they had to go to Moses. Maybe.
Moses gave them the law.
Yes, he gave them the law, and the law giving, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
They liked Moses, and he was a great lawgiver. So they, I don't know, Abraham was before Moses, wasn't he?
Oh, yes.
I don't know, Bill, why they picked out Moses? Other than the fact that he goes from Genesis right on through to Deuteronomy, and Abraham is just one of the characters, and then Moses was certainly a great lawgiver, and he was really in touch with God. That's the thing. And I think they picked him because he really knew God, he met God, and he got the commandments from God, and so they have that Mosaic succession, perhaps. They like that because he was more powerful.
Moses did everything what God told him only once.
Yeah.
One mistake.
Yeah, that's all.
Because one mistake, he was cut down.
I'm sure he had many more, but at least one that was very obvious and recorded for us.
I don't think that the others had been mistakes. The others, I think he did always ask God what to do.
Yes, I think so, by and large. But what I'm saying is, it could be in Scripture we don't have all the things that he did. He may have, he's just a human being too, and of course, but at least in Scripture, that certainly was held against him. Yes, Bill, you had another?
No. No.
Okay. All right, let's move on to the next verse then, please, Ruth.
John 9:29. Emes oidemen hoti mose lelaliken hotheos tuton de uk oidemen poten estin. John?
All right.
We know that God has spoken by Moses, but this one we do not know from whence he is.
All right. So, oidemen is what? There again.
Well, the perfect use in the present.
Use the present like oida. And lalaleken. What was that?
That's the perfect of
lale'o. Lale'o, right. How do we know that's a perfect root? What are some of the earmarks?
Reduplication. K.
The kappa, that's right. Very good. Lalaleken. That's a perfect active indicative. And we know. So, apparently, Bill, that's one reason why they picked Moses. We knew that God spoke by him, see, because he wrote so much in the law and so on. But this man, we don't know anything about whether God even can use him or knows him.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Doctor, excuse me if I interfere here and there with some questions, which for me are questioning.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that God tested Moses when he says, I shall destroy all of them as I make you great, and your seed mm-hmm. will take their place?
Do you think he what? Tested him?
Tested the, Moses.
Yes, I think
and
so.
And Moses said, Lord, please don't do it.
Yes.
Better blot out my name.
That's right.
Than to destroy them. What the other nations will be saying.
Yes, that's right. That's very gracious of him, wasn't it, in that sense?
Yes.
And magnanimous, and I think it was a test. See what he would do. And it may be very true. Any other comments on this verse or any other? All right, go right ahead, please. Is it Bill's turn?
9:30. Απεκρίθε ο άνθρωπος και είπεν αυτοίς, εν γάρ τούτο θαμαστόν εστίν, ότι γυμές ουκ οίδετε πόθεν εστί, και αν εωξε μου τους αθωμούς.
All right.
The man answered and said to them, For in this
Oh, thamaston. It's from thamadzo. It means a wonder, a wonderful thing, a marvelous thing. This is a thamaston. It's a marvel or a wonder.
Okay. For in this marvelous thing is
is a wonder, is a marvelous thing in this situation, I guess.
Because we,
not we, but humes.
Ye know not.
Pothen, from which, from where, or whence?
It is, or
he is. It's probably referring to Christ.
And
here's your friend an eukse, an oigo, okay. Again.
And he opened up.
Aorist again.
Yes. Opened up their eyes.
Not there, but mu, tu sapa mus mu.
His eyes. My eyes.
My eyes. The eyes of me. Mm-hmm. That's the end of that verse, right? All right. Ekuste would be what, Bill? Do we have Ekuste?
Oh, okay. No.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we don't have Ekuste. Let me see. Where is it? Am I in the wrong verse? Yes, I'm in the wrong verse. I'm sorry. Apokrithe, we've got Epen Oidete. All right. Any questions on that verse there, comments? The marvelous thing. Here's a man that you don't know who he is, and he's opened my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Strange indeed. All right, Ruth, take the next verse, please.
John 9:31. Oile men de hoti hamartolon hothos uk akue. Al eantis terasebes e kaita thaima autu poe. Tutu akue.
All right.
But we know that God is not hearing ones who are sinning.
Mm-hmm.
But if anyone should worship God, is that
mm-hmm. be a God worshipeth God, mm-hmm.
and should do his will, this one he is hearing.
All right. So what does that say about the ones that pray who are yet in their sins? He doesn't hear. See, a lot of people say he does hear them, and they can pray and so on and so on, but in a sense, really, obviously he hears them, but not really hears them. He certainly is aware. He hears to save them, yes.
But
and he hears
no
of course,
other way.
You know, he hears that is going on, but uh-huh. he doesn't really, it doesn't penetrate into his heart and into uh-huh. his whole being in that sense. Uh-huh. So this is an excellent verse to show that. In the Old Testament sometimes, he heareth not the prayers of sinners, you know, but if any man be a follower of God and righteous. That's right. See, so there's certain things in prayer that prevent his hearing in the sense of really hearing. You know, you can hear the noise, you can hear the words, and I'm sure the Lord, being omniscient, knows every word that ever any sinner ever says. You know, as far as that, he certainly hears in that sense, but not hears in the effective sense of hears responsively and receives.
His ears are open unto the righteous.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Ears are open unto the righteous. And I think in the form of receiving, it's just like you've heard the expression, I'm afraid it fell on deaf ears, which means they heard it, but just as if he was deaf. And that's the same way with God, I believe. He hears it, but just the same as if he was deaf. He's not going to do anything about it, see, until they come to the Lord, and then he hears. Now, he may not do anything about it with the righteous either, but he hears and understands, and he operates, and sometimes says, yes, no, not now, later, maybe, you know, possibly, you know, he has different answers, but he's receptive.
May yes. I say now something here?
Mm-hmm.
I believe that he answers to the believer if he answers in the positive way.
Mm-hmm.
And if he answers in the negative way, he doesn't even answer. And this is an answer.
Yes, that's true. That's true. It is an answer. It is an answer. You've heard in Old Testament, in Deuteronomy, I will make your heavens as brass so that your prayers cannot get up. You see, that's what it is. They won't get through to me. Effectively, see. Now, I'm sure he was aware that they're trying to pray, but as far as his active hearing and ear and prayer answering and really receiving, it's like brass. The heavens is brass. No prayer will get through that. That's interesting.
Do you think this could be applied also to the Christian that's sinning?
Yes, I would think so. If I regard iniquity in my heart, as Ruth has quoted in the Old Testament, the Lord right here. Saved and not saved. That's right. In other words,
there's
certain things that we have to, as far as
sin death.
Well, for instance, if sin is there, it ought to be dealt with first and removed. Then God will be able to handle this other sin. For instance, in the Old Testament, God asked one time, why sit you on your face? See, you stand you on your face mm-hmm. in the book of Joshua. Israel has sinned, see? It was the case of Achan, who stole that Babylonish mm-hmm. garment and hid it in his tent.
Mm-hmm.
And God said, why are you standing on your face and praying? In other words, there's a time when you don't pray, deal with sin first, then come to pray.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a certain things in Scripture where we're told not to pray, like the sin unto death. I say you should not pray for that, like in 1 John, see?
Mm-hmm.
But if a man... In other words, you deal with certain things first, and then the prayer is open and accessible. So that's true in Christian's life. I'm sure the Lord, though, is able to hear us, but if we have sin in our hearts, He does not. He's got to have us, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And obviously, He wants us in good praying ground before we can come to Him. See, if we come with sin, He hears, but he doesn't. He can't do for us because we've got another problem first.
Every known sin. I mean, we could never
confess every known sin. That's right. That's
and,
right.
And another
that's
thing.
Right. Known sin.
Another thing. He doesn't answer in the positive way because for our own good.
Sometimes that's right. That's why he doesn't give us things that we want and ask if he knows it's going to harm us. Certainly doesn't.
I think that's where maybe the Holy Spirit comes in and maybe intercedes.
Yes, it says in Romans 8.
We don't know. And,
as James says, ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye have not, because ye ask not sometimes too. But ye have, and ye ask, because you ask amiss, and ye have
mm-hmm.
not. So there are different reasons in prayer. Well, this is an interesting
ironic here where this is the Pharisee saying that.
Yes, they seem to have a good teaching here. And they think, since he's a sinner, that God does not hear him. That's what their point
mm-hmm.
is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, who's next? Is it Bill or Ruth? I forgot which.
I think it's me.
Bill, okay.
John 9:32. Ek tu aionos. Uk akuste hoti enoixetis anthomus tu flu gegene menu.
Is that it? I think so.
Let's begin here.
It's ek tu aionos.
Okay. Out of the, let's see.
From, probably, or out of?
From the world.
Mm-hmm. From the, of the world. That's another, from the beginning of the world, understood.
Okay.
Dan? Oh, Dan is not here.
Thinking about many yes. times about this. John Calvin being a lawyer and a Bible scholar, he was, how should I say, judging or considering the Bible teaching in a lawyer's judgment,
yes.
which is wrong, cannot be used in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
If we are using this, then we blame God for many things. Mm-hmm. For instance, in my life, why I am alone since 30 years, mm-hmm. I did not had a wife, and now to become a blind, yeah. Now being blind, I break my toes, I break my leg, and so on and so on.
Mm-hmm. That's right, we can't judge by
lawyers. We cannot judge in the lawyer's way.
That's right. Okay, let's see, Bill, excuse me. Were you beginning from, yeah. From the beginning, from eternity, see, in other words, from eternity past, from the age of the ages, see, from the ever is what we could say, I guess. 32, is it? Verse 32?
Mm-hmm. It is not heard that open.
That anyone, tis.
Anyone.
I know what you say.
That opened.
Mm-hmm. Opened from ano ego. Eris.
Eyes. Let's see.
Tuflos is blind man. Tuflos is tuflo of a blind man. Or of tuflu gegene menu. This is genao. That's the verb genao, which is the verb for being born. See, this is the birth. It's not genomai, which is become or was, but it's genao. So this is your, what we call the genitive absolute again, isn't it? It's your noun plus the genitive of the participle, right? It's so it means what, Bill?
Like being born.
That's right. One, having been born blind. So, all right. Anything else on that
one? Is this with two N?
Yeah, two N. Yeah, two N. Huh?
And the other with one N.
With one N, that's right.
It's other thing.
To become or to be or to exist or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But this one here is, who has heard from eternity? Has anyone opened the eyes of one who had been born blind? That's what that is. One who had been born blind. One having been born blind. See, that's what that is. The genitive absolute. All right. Gegene menu again, Bill, is what?
It's a genitive absolute.
Okay, that is that particular form, though, is what?
A participle.
Participle. What tense would that be?
Perfect.
Yeah, it's perfect passive participle. Genao. Eneuxen is what? Again, our friend.
Eneuxen.
Aorist of.
Anoigo,
to open up. Acuste, there's our acuste I asked you about before.
It's aorist of cool.
Aorist what? Active, middle, or passive? You got that ending?
Well, let's see, passive or middle.
Theta eta always has to be what?
Passive.
Aorist passive. That's the theta eta indication on the end. Unless you have akalutheo, then you have a theta eta. It's not an aorist passive. We slipped into that trap several weeks back. Any other comments or questions on that one? All right. Ruth, please.
John 9:33. Eme ein hutos para theu. Huk e dunato poien uden.
Joe. All right.
Unless this one were from God, he would not be able to do anything.
All right. And a dunato would be what? A dunato?
Well, that would be aorist.
The first 33, right? That would be imperfect. You see, a dunato. Dunamai. Dunamai is there, and there's no sigma in there. And it's the adunato. Dunamai. See, ato. That's the imperfect passive, see, because you have the different ending. Ato instead of atai. Ato is a secondary ending, so it would be. He would not be enabled. Yes, he would not be enabled to do anything. We would say, the Greek says, not be able to do nothing. See, double negative, but we would say not be able to do anything. All right, so then the next one, ain, of course, you know, is what? Ain. Well, no, that's just regular indicative. See, the a may ain You see, the a does take an indicative. You don't an now that would have to be subjunctive, but ain is just a regular imperfect of a me. See, imperfect he was. See, if anyone was, he was third singular. If you're not of God, from God, he was not able to do anything. Okay, any other questions on that? So this blind man had a lot of theology on his side, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Very strong indeed. All right, Bill, go ahead with verse 34.
I wish that we had that.
Yes, John 9:34.
John 9:34. Apokritisan kai epon auto en amartias su genetes halos kai su didaskes hemas kai ex ebalon auton exo.
Boy, they really are sassy, aren't they? Impudent. Go ahead, Bill.
They answered and said to him, "In is that the
in? That's right, just in.
In, okay.
Mm-hmm.
In is that your sins?
Amartiais. No, that's be your sins would be su of you, sins of you. But this is ahen amartiais. Then the nominative su, thou.
Thou art a sinner.
Mm-hmm. But this is in sins."
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's it. In sins, in hamartias. Like the instrumental dative ending. Hamartias from hamartia.
In sins.
Now this is genetes. What is that? What is that, Bill?
Is that you were born?
That's right, because this is genao again, to be born, the double noon, double N, as Mr. Arson pointed out before.
Would that be like fully born? Is that halos?
Halos, all together, completely halos. Every foot born in sins.
And you, ask us to know, teach?
Yeah,
And you teach us?
Uh-huh, and you are teaching us? You're teaching us, instructing us? You're born all together in
sins?
Yeah, go ahead.
And to cast out?
That's right, ekbalo. Hmm? Mm-hmm. Throw out, cast out.
Okay. Is that without echo?
Mm-hmm. That's right, exo. Mm-hmm.
Exo.
Throw him out.
They didn't just throw him out, but they threw him out.
out.
Without.
Yeah.
Double out. Completely outside.
Yeah.
They threw him out outside. See, mm-hmm. They wanted to be sure he was out. Double X, ex Ebalon, auton exo. Alright, he made his exit, didn't he?
I see that. I guess now, some.
Yeah.
Not everything.
That's right.
No.
I'm working, Mr. Arson, I haven't finished completely the second English Greek, but, I'm moving along. I'm all the way up into chapter 11. I was kind of waiting until that cassette finished before I gave you a copy. But I can give you what I have if you want me to make a copy of that.
Well, I can wait.
So you can come up, and listen.
I can wait.
Okay, all right. So let's see. I'm doing that in the morning, and along with my analysis of the New International Version, I'm reading about 10 verses on the Greek, Greek and English each morning. And that way, 3 days, I'm through with the 30 verses. So I'm ahead, and I hope I can...
In
do
fact,
it that way. I didn't quite do it during my vacation, as Ruth was sure that I would not.
In fact, I'm spending now
99%
of all my time with Braille.
Oh, good. All right. I'm glad you're not missing the other. So I'll get that when it's ready, and you'll have it. Okay, Bill, pardon my delay. Now, you were on verse 34?
Ready for 35.
Okay. Apokritheson is... yes. Well, let me continue. Let's see. I don't even remember our time zone here. Frame was charged. Anyhow, apokritheson, let me go ahead and hasten
on that. Time?
First aorist passive indicative. Yes. Apokrinomai, aorist passive, apokritheson, egenethes, first aorist passive of genao. You were born, see? You were raised, you were born, you were brought up in sins. Didaskes, of course, present active of didasko, and ex Ebalon, second aorist of ekbalo. All right.
And you are coming to teach us?
Yes, that's right. You are teaching us. They were very on high horses, were they not? And Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, and certainly these men who were so high and mighty did not want to admit that they themselves did not know everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting that a man who was born blind could see so much, you know, when he just now had received his physical eyesight. But apparently he'd been thinking all these years much deeper than those with physical eyesight. Mm-hmm. Interesting. He had a tremendous theology right from recently being saved so soon here. So recently, I should say. All right, is it Ruth's turn? Or?
Yes.
All right.
John 9:35. Ekosen Jesus hati ex ebalon auton exo kai heron auton epen auto su pisteles eston vion to thou. John.
Okay.
Jesus heard that they threw him out, and finding him, he said to him.
Find him or? Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Are you believing in the Son of God?
Mm-hmm. Having found him, probably have on. All right, what is that? Ekusen then, Ruth.
Ekusen is the aristotle of kuo.
Kuo and heron.
Heron is a participle aristotle.
Aristotle, so perisco, probably having found him. All right, pisteles is
a present of
present pistel. Okay, so are you believing? Do you believe? And that was 36 or 35. Any other questions on that there after they cast him out? The Lord Jesus was right there when that exile was made, wasn't he? Cast out. All right, then he found him. Bill, take the next one, please.
John 9:36. Apokrithe ekenos kai epe, tis esti kurie, hina pistelso eis auton. John.
All right.
He answered and said.
Mm-hmm. And you see, Ekenos, that one, or he, that's fine, the one who was the former, okay. Answer and said, go ahead.
What is?
Or who is? See, T would be what? Tis would probably be who? See, since it's masculine. T would be neuter, so it would be what or why, but tis would usually be who. All right?
Who is?
Is he?
Who is he, Lord, that
Pistello?
I know it's to believe and shall believe, but I'm trying to. That we shall believe in him?
Shall believe, we might believe in him. Okay. Is that the end of that verse?
Yes, I think so.
Okay, that's 36. Mm-hmm. And that's, it's future active or first aorist active subjunctive. Probably it would be subjunctive in this case. That I might believe in him, see. I think probably in that, but the form is the same. Pistelso, you can't tell the difference between the aorist subjunctive or future act indicative.
Why do you say kenos again? That's thrown me off twice.
Well, it's the that one. See, that one, it's the former one. It's the one way or that I've talked about way up there. And it's just like he. They just use that, this one or that one, we would say. And it means he. So that's perfectly all right to have that. And houtos, they use houtos, this one, which is the one I've just spoken about, the latter. That is just, but the former, way back away, that's the ekenos. So that's why they use that one, just like we use the pronouns here, that one or this one. But they use it in a little different sense. We usually say he or who or the person's name or she. All right, any other questions on, that was 36? He wanted to know who he was. It was 35, was it?
That was 36.
36, okay. Ruth, would you take the next question?
9:37. Epede auto ha Jesus, kai heorakas auton, kai ha lalon, meta su ekenos esten.
Is that the end? See, that was 37?
Yes.
John?
Yeah, that's it. Okay.
Jesus said to him, also you have seen him? And the one speaking with
him. Oh, and Kai. Here we got two Kais. So both and. You have both seen him and see. That's it. The Kai gives a both and.
Both seen him and the one speaking with you is that one.
Mm-hmm. All right. And the epes eris, heorakas, is what? Perfect. It's the heorakas. It's double. That's double duplication of the heorakas. That is perfect. That is perfect. Horao, yes. Perfect heorakas. With a kappa. That way you should know that from the kappa. All right? Have seen him. And I keep losing my place. Lalon is present, of course. All right. You have both seen him. The one speaking with you is he. It is he. Any other questions or comments on that one? All right. He knew who the Messiah was because the Lord told him, didn't he? All right. Bill, take the next one, please.
938. Hoda efe pistewo kurie kai prostakulisen auto.
All right.
But what is efe?
Spoke from Femi. It's the aorist of Femi. Aorist efe. He said, he spoke, Femi.
What is the ha in there for?
Let's see, that's verse 38. Hade efe. Well, I guess it would be the, ha. That one, I guess, said unto him, I suppose. Let's see. 38? Mm-hmm. I think that's just a neuter reference to the man. And he said that one said. I think it's a neuter singular. Hos, hey, ha. You know, and I think that's the ha. I don't think it's the article there. Let me see. There's no noun to go with it, see.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I just think, and hadeh. See, sometimes you have a ha man, this one on the one hand, and hadeh, this one on the other hand. See, this is the hadeh, the one and the other. I guess that's what it is. The one, then hadeh, but the other ones said.
Okay. I believe, Lord, and
Praskunao is to fall down and worship.
Okay. And
that's the aorist of Praskunao.
I worshipped him.
And he worshipped him. See, that's third person singular. First aorist. All right, he worshipped him. All right, fell down and worshipped him. Any questions on that? Proskunison, of course, is the aorist, as we said. Proskuneo. And F.A. is the aorist of Femi. All right, Ruth, take the next one, please. There's no comment further on that one.
John 9:39. Kai epan ho Jesus eith krima ego eith ton kosmon tuton eophon. Ena hoi me blapontes blaposti. Kai hoi blapontes tifloi genotai.
All right.
And Jesus said to him, into judgment.
All right, now, either into or for the purpose of. See, probably this would be the causal ace. All right, go ahead.
For judgment, I came into this world in order that the ones not seeing should see.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones seeing should become blind.
Should become or might become blind ones. Okay, good. That's a very strong verse. The Elphon is the aorist of Erchomai. Blepontes, present participle of blepo. Bleposi is the present active subjunctive of blepo. Genotai, aorist of genomai. Genotai. They might be made or become blind. That certainly is a philosophical verse, isn't it? But it's so true. Those that say we know don't know as much as they think. They know those that we see.
They should not
blind.
Understand.
That's right. That's like Isaiah said. Their hearts seeing, they will not see and not understand.
Mm-hmm.
Hearing, they will hear but not understand. See, seeing will see, but they can't quite make it out. I will send blindness to them. All right. Verse, is it 40 now?
Mm-hmm.
Bill?
John 9:40. Kai ekuson ekton parisaion tauta hoi ontes metautu kai epon auto me kai hemes to floi esmen.
Okay.
And out of the Pharisees and of the Pharisees uh,
peace, heard or seen.
Yeah, that's right. It's the third plural. It's
maybe, and these of the Pharisees heard?
They of the Pharisees, yes, heard tauta, these things.
These things. What's antes?
Hoi antes, from on, usa, on. Antes is the participle of a me. So this would be the ones being with him.
Okay.
Actually, it's and the ones being with him from the Pharisees heard, probably.
Okay.
It's probably the ones from the Pharisees being with him, mm-hmm. is the hoi, heard.
And said to him.
That was verse 40, was it?
Yeah. Don't go in here.
All right.
And
we see what the King James says. It has in italics, and some in italics, the word some is in italics, of the Pharisees, which were with him, heard these words. See? So it's those being with him from the Pharisees, those from the Pharisees that were with him, heard these. Go ahead.
Words. And said to him,
heard these things, but the words is understood.
Words understood from
mm-hmm.
okay.
Right.
It is not true.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
It's not true, is it?
Very good, no.
That we are blind.
See, they didn't want to admit it. Certainly not sure that we're blind. They just did not want to admit that. All right, that's verse 40. Equison is the aorist of akou. Ontes is present active participle of a me, nominative plural masculine, onusa an, antes. Alright, let's go to 41, our final verse for the evening then, if you're ready for that, Ruth.
John 9:41. Epen autois hoiesus, etu floi ete, uk an echete hamartian, nunde legete hati blapomen, he un hamartia humon. Many.
All right.
Jesus said to them, if you were blind ones, ye would not have sinned. But now you are saying that we see, and therefore your sins are remaining.
Or your sin, singular, right.
Sin mm-hmm.
His remaining is a body. Still.
Is that imperfect?
That would be imperfect. Yes, you're right.
That be
ekete, imperfect of echo. All right, you see, this is your if clause contrary to fact. So it's simply in the past time, I guess, if you were blind,
you're not really blind,
not really blind mm-hmm. see, you would not have sin. You would not, see, it's the would not. Be having in the past sin apparently, but the let's look at that conditional clause again in Dana and Matthew near the back of our books. Let's see, we got our conditional clauses in the index, which would be page 286, and see what we have here. I believe you'll find this the second class, if I'm not mistaken, 286 and following.
Has an on,
that's right. Page 289. The premise is assumed to be contrary to fact in this class, and only the past tenses of the indicative are used. See, here's your past tense. As suggested above, this condition states a thing as if it were untrue or unreal, although in actual fact it may be true. As, first example, prosthesis is a, and on usually occurs in the apostasis. So contrary to fact, clause with present time has the imperfect tense in both prosthesis. So this is present time. If this man were a prophet, Luke 7:39, ain, see that's imperfect, prophetes aginoskin, that would be the, then on, tis, he would know. See, so that'd be your imperfect in both instances. In present time, so this is a present time contrary to fact, so if you were blind, then you would, verse 40 is it 41, have no sin. But On the other hand, now you say receive. So that's what that would be, Ruth. Imperfect, echo. And 41, the legate, of course, present, left from him present, many present, a lot of presents here, except that echete and ete, imperfect, both of those, imperfect, indicative act. All right, any other questions or comments on 41? By next week, we'll have our final then, and as I said, we'll try to tell you what we're going to be doing. We'll take some verses from John 1 through 9, not too many, maybe a few in each chapter, maybe you take your pick of any three or whatever like that, or four or whatever, and we'll see if you can take Dane and Manny, open it up, and find out some things for me in those verses. Let's take a look and review, Dane and Manny, the types of things that you probably will be looking at and using. Let's start with 59. We go from 59 to 180. That's our total package, you might say, of so far this first semester. Syntax and accidents, we don't worry on that. Excuse me.
Yes,
she's sick again. And since last Tuesday, Wednesday, this was Thursday, and that's too bad. I hope she gets better.
I was thinking maybe
so we want
she got up too soon.
No, well, maybe so. Well, we took her to another doctor, and he's found another ailment that the other one didn't know about, so we hope that this, she got the medicine, maybe we'll take get it fixed up.
Bates, for her.
Well, it continues.
And how is Dan?
Dan's doing fine. Dan and I, apparently, we don't get these things. We hope we still keep not getting them. But you see, page 162 and 63, the noun and the verb, that's just more or less general. But 65, starting with the cases, 66, 67, 68. Now, starting with 68, the nominative case. For instance, subject nominative. If we were taking a verse, let's just take the last verse we used there, 941. You have, what's your first nominative you come up against? And
Jesus.
All right, Jesus, or Jesus. Is that subject, what kind of nominative is it? Subject nominative, predicate, nominative appellation, so on.
Subject,
okay. Tiflor is another nominative, is it? Nominative plural. What would that be? Eta tiflor. Subject, predicate, nominative. Nominative appellation, independent nominative, nominative exclamation.
Okay, predicate nominative.
Because it occurs after the verb to be. See, so that's if you were blind. So this is the way we want you to work. See, I'll just take it. Just, not that that's difficult, but it makes you to think over some of these problems as to how you would categorize and analyze certain nominatives. See, then we move on to the vocatives. Now some of the verses don't have any vocative, but some do. See, and so you just mentioned vocative. Page 72, the genitive case. Now, there are lots of genders starting over 75. What you do when you meet up with a form, you see, is it genitive or is it ablative? See, I just want you to kind of get the grasp on the thing. That's what we would do if we were doing exegesis and trying to understand what the meaning of that verse is for expositional purposes or something. For instance, when's our first genitive or ablative form here in verse 41? Do we have any at all? You find any at all there in the ablative? Or a genitive? I see one. Pardon me?
For your sin.
Let's see, where is that? Which line is that?
Left on your sin is remaining, isn't yours?
That's right, humon. Mm-hmm. Humon. I think that's about the only ablative. Now, see, the genitive ablative. Now, first of all, is the genitive a description? Page 76, genitive of possession, genitive relationship, genitive adverbial genitive, genitive with nouns of action, genitive apposition, a partitive genitive, or genitive absolute. See, which of these eight genitives would that be?
Possession.
All right, possession. See, your sin, the sin of you. That's page 76. That's it. So you see, you just say genitive possession, and that would take care of it. Then we got a genitive absolute, remember, up in before. And so that would be something. Now go to the ablative case, page 82. Do we have any ablatives at all? Well, do you remember any ablatives tonight? Let's see. The one after ek, to ionos, from eternity, on page 30, verse 32, John 9:32, ek to ionos, after ek. I believe our rule is it always takes the ablative. Let's see. See if we can find ek as a preposition back in the back of our book if we can. Prepositions ek, if we can find it hurriedly.
It does come with the ablative.
Page 102.
Okay, thank you. So what does it say? Ablative?
With the ablative case, it means out of or from within.
All right. Ek, position, relationship, purpose, association, so on, by means of cause, agency. And ek, is it the only use of, take case it's used with? Root meaning of, the result meaning, with the ablative case, the only case it occurs with. That's it. See, so there you know. Anytime you have an ek, you got an ablative. All right. Now take ek to, from the eternity, from the ionis, from the age of the age. Is it, on page 81, ablative separation, of source, of means, or of comparison? What do you think?
Source.
Of source, from eternity. All right, that's the source. All right, that's the, one of the most usual cases of it. You say, oh, I want to take the dative now, the pure dative. Remember, you have a locative, instrumental, or dative, so the same form. You're not sure exactly whether it's locative or instrumental or dative. Take the dative, which should... do you have any datives? Well, you have something looks like datives. And take verse 41, the same verse just for fun. I see one immediately.
To him.
Autois, to them, is that what you mean? And do you have another one to him? Right, autois would be to them, wouldn't it? Plural. Any other datives there, or locative instrumental dative in form? Do you see any? It looks to be about the only one, does it not? All right, so let's take a look at autois. Is it dative of indirect object, dative advantage, possession, reference? One of those for which one? Or is it locative or instrumental? Is it a true dative, do you think?
I think it's
indirect object. All right, that's exactly what it is. He said to them. Jesus said to them. That's the indirect object, isn't it? So this is perfect dative, indirect object, page 84. All right, go take the locative now. See if we have any locatives. I don't think we have any locatives necessarily in verse 41. Can you see any locatives on that page? Page 192 in our Greek text that's open before us. Let's take a locative somewhere, perhaps. Verse 30, en gar tuto. Is that a locative? In this thing. I'm not sure that may be instrumental. It could be locative. All right. Suppose that's a locative. Is it a locative of place, time, sphere, which one?
Sphere.
In the sphere, all right, that's exactly right. Probably a locative of sphere. En gar tuto, in the sphere of this. See, it's a marvel. In this particular sphere, this is a marvelous thing that you've said. How you say that here's a man that's healed my blindness and you don't even know where he is. So that's probably a locative of place, time, sphere. In this case, the sphere with the nouns, with verbs, with adjectives, and then the instrumental, means, of cause, of manner, of measure, of association, of agency. Now, is there any instrumental, by means of, that type of thing, through this, by means of this, you see anything on the page that would give us one of those? You see, in the portions that you have, that you'd be looking at, you may not find, you know, all of these. You may find some, you have to look and see what they would be, but I'm just asking for the sake of review, trying to find one if you can. Is there any... instrumental, by means of, the cause of. How about ace? We had an ace there. What case did that follow? Remember, Ruth, you translated into, and I said maybe because of, or for the cause of, for the sake of. Ace, tanhuyan? Okay, where is that? In verse 39?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not a, that's an accusative, isn't it? Okay, is there any?
No, ace in verse 36.
Pardon me?
That's also accusative.
Yeah, accusative. See if we can find a an instrumental by means of this. He came by means of something. Instrumental case there. See any at all? Ti epoisesoi. What did you do to him? For him? No, I don't see, you know, if you had the word, the pronoun end, you may find the instrumental meaning.
How about Moses? God has spoken by Moses? All right. Instrumental?
I'll say that probably would be by means of instrumental. Yes. Mm-hmm. Where is that verse?
28, I guess, or 29.
28 or 29. Moses, is that the one? Oh, Moses at the very end. Yes, yes. He has spoken by Moses. That's right. And there should be a contrary or comparative one by this man. We don't know from whence he is. Is there anything about through him? No, I guess. But that's right. Moses, that's right. That'd be instrumental of means. Well, not by means of Moses for the word. All right. Then the accusative. Find an accusative. Is there any accusatives in verse 41? 9:41 of John? See any there at all? I see one. Okay, in 41, verse 41, okay, give us the first one, Ruth. You have a on the page there a lot of them, but see if you find one here.
Hamartian.
Okay, that's about the only one, is it? Hamartian, okay. What kind of accuser? Now, notice on page 92, is it the accuser of direct object, adverbial accusative, of measure, of manner, of reference, cognitive accusative, or double accusative, accusative, absolute accusative with oaths?
What we think of as direct object, sometimes they don't. So that's
yes, that's true. But this, in this case...
to have sins, would that be direct object?
I think of direct object as the verb to have. I think so. We have sin, see, the direct object. I speak truth, you have sin, see, you have what do you...
think about it as a direct object.
Oh, yes. See, what do you
have? I'm put out.
Pardon me?
For the second time.
What is that, Mr. Smith?
Popped the...
Oh, no, that's just the first time. No, it's the first time. So we're all right. That's just changing. Now going over the other side. But we'd say we have onions, we have potatoes, we have soup, we have carrots, we have sin, we have sickness. You know, it's just a regular direct object. See? Yeah, right? Now, usually it's the man shot the bear or so on. But it is a... It has a... When we have...
Yeah,
some,
action, yeah.
Well, see, when you have something, you possess something. You have a cold. It's a really direct object. It hits that pretty. It's not as direct as you shot a bear or you threw a football, but you have. It is a transitive verb that whose action goes over to an object. See, you have a marble. See, that's a real concrete thing. If you have it, it's direct object. So that's good. That's direct object, accusative case. And when we use ace clima in verse 39, what type of accusative would that be? Now, of course, that's with ace, and of course we get into that, but...
In 39, I don't
know. Double accusative, accusative absolute, accusative of those, adverbial accusative. Possibly accusative, verbal accusative of reference with reference to, all right, sin.
They're kind of fuzzy, aren't they?
Yes, yes. See, that's with ace, which if you look under ace, it would give you the meaning. It's with reference to sin, because of sin and so on, or because of judgment, for judgment, for the purpose of judgment, which would be adverbial. And I think under the ace, it'd be a little easier to see that. But I think that would be an adverbial accusative of something maybe not even mentioned there for the purpose of, rather than manner or possibly reference to. All right, let's move on to the prepositions. Now we're getting to these prepositions on page 96, starting with anas. Do we find any anas in here? I don't think so. We have it in different places, like in John 3, you must be born again. Of course, ana in compound, that result meanings. Anti, do you have any anti? I don't think I remember reading anti. Apo, we have dia. If you do find them, see if you can find the best meaning of them in the compound that you have or in the actual isolation, see, case. For instance, let's see, do we have any compound verbs in this page here? I'm just trying to look at that page. Keep us. Well, yes, apokrithē, see, apokrinema. Apo is a compound, so you see in page 101, in composition, it means off or back. So, krinemai, to judge back, to judge off. Result means from, remote meanings, and so on. But in composition, back, to judge back. In other words, to this would be
to make reply.
Ex epsilon would be composition.
Yes, ex epsilon exo, of course, ex epsilon. That's right, composition for ex, right. And which on page 102.
Is anoigo, is that com?
Yes, from ana, absolutely. So that would be the page 99. Composition of upper back, anoigo, to open again, see, or to open back, to open up. A new renewal. Alright, so these are the types of things. An ace, ek, of course, page 102, ace. Alright, here's ace. Now here's where ace klima. Now let's get back to ace klima in John 9:39. What meaning is that? Well, the possibilities, the remote meanings perhaps, or resultant meanings. Enter into remote meanings for, which is remote.
Under 5, it says with respect to or with reference to.
All right, respect to or reference to. Mm-hmm. Which would be similar to 4, wouldn't it? For the purpose of, notice 8. Notice number 8 on page 104. Mm-hmm. See, for the purpose of judgment, say, ace crema. See?
We don't have incentive, do we?
No, you don't need it, do you?
Okay.
Well, we're going to use it with incentive, yeah, but a few times also without, that's right. But you see, ace crema. See, ace crema seeming, it seems to be a possible, it wouldn't be set up into judgment. But sort of for the purpose of judgment, for purpose I am coming to. Alright, then you have N on page 105, and lots of N's there. And epi, and kata, and lots of compounds there. Meta, with, para, which is beside. We had para here, didn't we? Para, somewhere tonight. Para, did we not? By me, if you come by me, or close to me. Ruth had that verse, whatever that would be. Anybody remember? Oh yeah, parathu, verse 33. Hutos parathu, see. If this man were not para, what sense is that? Beside God, see, close to God, from God, see, and the result meaning the ablative case. So here's the, oh, here's an ablative, isn't it? Parathu, probably. And the resultant is the ablative case means from, not from God, from the side of God. And then yes.
This, in fact, is not too much difference the meaning as we see in English with God.
With God? You say with God or from God?
Yes, with God and beside God.
Yes, with God.
But in Greek is different.
Yes, there are differences. The para versus...
John 1. John 1:1.
Prostanteon, yes.
Prostanteon.
That's right. So near God and these different senses. And then peri and page 109 around and pro before pros and 110 soon. A lot of compounds with soon, aren't there? 111 huper over or beyond hupa under. So these are all different things that you might find and prepositional phrases. A lot of those. I don't think we're running too many of those. Any questions thus far before moving on to the adjective, page 115 to 180? This is the type of thing we'll be looking for. Now, the origin of the adjectives, let's see, function 116. Now, the use of the adjective 117, the adjective is modifier as a noun, the adjective used as an adverb. Those three different uses of the adjective. All right, now give us some adjectives here. To Floy. Is that a noun or is that an adjective? To Floy. I have to look that up to be sure. It very possibly it's an adjective. It looks like a noun. And it may be a noun. Let me just see here. If it were an adjective, what type of adjective would it be? I think it is an adjective. Just like we say blind today, the blind girl. It's an adjective, isn't it?
Understood. Isn't the blind one.
The blind one, okay. Let's look in the Trufloss. Let's see if I can find it here in our analytical Greek. To flu, to floss, to flay, to flon. Blind. And therefore, it's as to floss, to flay, to flu, it would be an adjective, would it not? Because you've got the masculine, feminine, neuter, just by the very identification of that. It just says blind. Yeah, it's an adjective. All right. So, if that's the case, what kind of adjective would that will that be then? Is it a modifier? Naturally used as a noun? Naturally used as an adverb? What verse was that, Hoy to Floyd? 41, okay. A to Floyd, eta. What would that be?
Used as a noun.
Used as a noun, okay. Masculine would be concrete, feminine would be an agreement, understood, and neuter would be sort of an abstract. This would be what?
Masculine.
So it would be concrete noun as understood. We were blind men, blind ones, blind people. So that would be it. Now, the comparison of adjectives on page 120, comparative, positive comparative, superlative, house made up. I don't think we get into too many of those things. The pronoun, page 123. Personal pronouns. Now, the use of personal pronouns. Do we have any personal pronouns in 41? Do you see any in verse 41, John 9, 41? I guess it would be it, although that's in the third person. I'm just trying to see how they would define. I think what they mean, Ruth, is the first person, second person, third person nominative, see, when they're talking about these particular personal pronouns. Although this would be definitely third person in the thing. I'll toss it's an intensive pronoun. But I think they on this particular thing it would be first, you know, I, you, we, something like that.
Verse 40, you have humes.
All right, humes. All right, now let's go ahead and look at that one. Personal pronouns, page 123. Is it the personal pronoun for emphasis, the objective use of the personal pronoun? Which of those two? Objective meaning possession or as a reflexive. What do you think that would be?
Emphasis.
Emphasis, that's right. Most of these are. Whenever they have them, they're very present. It's emphatic because they really don't need to do the humes. You is already in the verb, isn't it? That's verse 40?
Yes.
Okay, where's... Oh, yeah, humes. Humes, rather. Yeah, we. Is that right? S-men. S-men is already we. All right, then the relative pronoun, page 125, just the agreement of it, the antecedent attraction, the antecedent indefinite, there's nothing particular meaning. The demonstrative pronoun, page 127, 28, that and this. Remember, Bill, you asked about the hutos and the kainos and why they always use that. Ordinarily, it's used for the near thing, immediate thing, hutos, and the distant thing, remote, top of 128, is a kainos. And sometimes the article retains that demonstrative, relative pronouns, intensive pronouns, immediate and remote, mentally or action. And the intensive pronoun, these are things that you might see at page 129. I'll toss the same or self. Possessive pronoun, different ways of showing possession. Hey, ma. Now we see a lot of these possession type things. Genitive of the personal pronoun, the hemon of ours, by the article, tain chira, his hands. It's just the hands. So we see a lot of those. So when you explain why is this that way, you could use this article here. Reflexive pronouns, reciprocal pronouns, 131 to 132. Interrogative pronouns. Now here's your interrogative. See, here's the T. What, yes, or sometimes it could be why, T. And tis, usually why. Well, in the sense of T, if it's T, it's why. Sometimes it's who, relative use of tis, what I shall do, elementary, alternative use. Indefinite pronoun, pronoun use, tis. Now notice, one has an accent, which is the acute. Page 132, you see it, paragraph 142. Acute accent, interrogative pronoun. The other has an accent, grave, paragraph 143, number 1, tis, grave accent, indefinite pronoun, see. A certain man, certain one. They're the same form, but one is an interrogative pronoun, the other is an indefinite pronoun. That's all we can say with it. Accents are different. Then, we may not run into too many of those, but if you do, whether look that up. Then the article, page 135. We've got a lot of articles, the function of the articles. Page 141, we begin the regular use of the article. Any articles, first of all, in verse 41? See any articles at all there? Ah, okay. Any others? That's one. There's one more, is there not?
Hey.
Pardon me?
Hey.
Hey, okay. So, regular use of the article. Does it denote individuals, denote previous reference with abstract nouns, with proper nouns? The generic use, or with pronouns, with other parts of speech, what would that be? Or would it be a special use of the article, with nouns connected by chi, as a pronoun, with the subject in a copulative sentence? Now, what would the first one be? Ha, Jesus.
Proper name.
Proper name. To note individuals would it be, probably, page 141. Let's see, read the sharpest abstract. Proper name, number page 142, with a proper name. Ha, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Exactly. All right, what about the second one? He, un, hamartia. Save the sin. Irregular or special? Individuals, previous reference, with abstract nouns. That would be abstract nouns.
Abstract, yeah.
Probably abstract. Hey, hamartia, wouldn't it be the sin? Right?
Yeah.
Why?
What is regular?
Well, regular would be denoted, well, that's regular, page 141. This would be regular with abstract nouns. It would be one of the regular uses, see. Right?
Yeah.
Probably. Now, it could be five, page 144, the generic use, possibly. Like the sin, the normal sin that everyone has, like the foxes have dens, you know, so on. That's a possibility. But you figure out what you think the best one would be on that. Many of these are the article of previous reference, the water, tahudor tazon, John 4:11, the water that I just spoke of, above, you see, or in the same verse even. So then moving on to the absence of the article, let's see, the position of the article, page 151, in the attributive position, some of those things you can look at. Now the verb, let's go to the verb, page 155, the active voice. No, if it's active, is it simple active or causative? Any active voice verbs in 41?
Apen.
Apen, okay. It's the aorist, but it is active, isn't it? Aorist active. Why is that a simple active, page 156, or the causative active? Does it cause the sun to shine, or just God knows your heart switch?
Simple.
Simple or simple active? Most of these things are simple actives. Echete. Would be imperfect, isn't it? But that would be active voice, wouldn't it? What would Echete be? He would have no sin. If you were blind, you would not have sin. Again, it would be simple one, instead of causative. And the middle voice, any middle voices in 41 at all?
No.
No? How about 40? Any middle voices there? Genontai. That would be middle, wouldn't it? Would it not? Genontai. That's the third person, aorist middle, subjunctive, genomai. That's an aorist middle. All right, now, would that be a direct middle, an indirect middle, permissive middle, reciprocal middle? What would you think the middle, if you wanted to be the middle man in that, what would you denote it as?
He had, really be direct,
but hanged himself. Okay, it wouldn't be exactly direct. It's genemon. Let's see, where are we? First 30... Lost the place here. 34?
Say indirect. It would have been
40.
40, okay.
And 39.
Born blind.
39 or 40.
You see, those who are seeing might be blind, okay. Mm-hmm. Now this genomtai would be from genomai. It's not born now. This would be made blind. It might be blind. It might become blind. All right. Might become for themselves, it'd be those that might become for themselves, indirect middle, he himself might be, a permissive middle might be permitted, or suffer to be blind, reciprocal middle might be blind one with another, probably the indirect, I would say, is that what you said originally? That they might be for themselves, with a relation to themselves, maybe being blind. All right, any passive voices? Look at 161. Do you find any passive voices with 41 or 40? We have that traditional aorist passive always, apikrithe, on page number 36, John 9:36, apikrithe. Let's take a look. That's hard to translate, isn't it? Apikrithe, apokrinoma, to make reply, to sometimes the passive or the intermediate agent. Let's take another verb, because that's sort of hard to get the knack of there. Are there any other passives that we find on that page? Apocrypha. Well, yes. Eganethes.
Born.
Verse 34, is that what you're looking at?
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's a good one. That is the... Eganethes is the first aorist passive, genao. All right. What verse is that, 34? Yeah, Ganethes. All right. Su Eganethes holos. You are altogether born in sin. Now, how would you translate that as a passive? You were born, right? Instead of you bore yourself, you were born. So you by someone else. All right. What type of a passive would that be? Passive with a direct agent, passive with intermediate agent, passive with an impersonal agent? Of course, that was hypo, intermediate agent. It may be maybe none of those. It doesn't have an agency, does it? Be born by your mother and father, understood. It's not as clear as these three give us here, is it?
Mm-mm. If you had to choose among them, which would you choose?
Have been born. I guess I would choose the direct agent myself, but because you're born by your parents who bear you a direct line of descent. But I don't know why I would pick that. I just pick it. It doesn't have your paw. But it seems to be the most used one. That's the original agent produced the action. And, of course, the mother and father produced the child. Therefore, I would think that would be direct agent, even though it's just not mentioned there. We know the birds and the bees, and we know that there's a direct agency why that person was born, and it's mother and father. That's the direct agency. So I would say direct. All right, then irregularities in voice. We won't worry about that. Then mood, page 165, different moods, starting with indicative mood and 168. All right, do we have any indicative moods in verse 41? We've got active voices, but how about indicative moods? We have a few, have we not? Verse 41, John 9:41.
Apen.
Okay, and what would that be, the declarative indicative, the interrogative indicative, cohortative indicative, potential indicative? Which one of those four indicatives do you think that would be? Just apen.
Declarative?
Pardon me? Declare. It's just simple fact. That's right. Then Jesus said to them. Simple declare. Any other moods there at all? Or indicative, I should say?
Legata.
All right, legata. That would be also what?
Declarative.
Probably declarative indicative. Okay, fine. Let's move on to subjunctive. Page 170. Have any subjunctives in verse 41? I don't know as we do. 41. How about 40? Any subjunctives there? Yenontai, is that Kenontai? That looks like a big old omega. Let me see here. That would be verse 40. What does that look like, a subjunctive? Yenontai, that's middle subjunctive. It sure is. Middle subjunctive. Second aorist middle subjunctive. Yenontai. There again, you were born blind, right? You were born blind. That is, those having seen might be born blind, I should say, might be become, excuse me, not born, might become blind. It's not cannot, or it's ginema. What kind of subjunctive is that? Hortatory, prohibition, deliberative, subjunctive emphatic negation, or potential subjunctive? You might potentially be born blind. I think that's a good guess, Danny Ruth, mm-hmm. The fifth one. All right. All right, let's take a look at the optative. We don't have many optatives in the whole New Testament. In fact, 14, there are 15 in the whole New Testament. They're almost 14 out of 15 are by Paul. Page 174 at the top footnote. That would bring me the top fine print. So we won't find any in any of the, in John, except by chance. And I don't think we find an imperative mood. Do we have any imperatives around here in this page, John 9, 26 to 41? Anybody remember imperatives? Do this, do that. Pardon me?
I don't remember any.
No, I don't either. Anything before that? He told me to go and to wash, and I came seeing. Remember that? That would be the earlier part of John 9. See if we can find any earlier verses. Isn't that true? Didn't, No, that was... Go wash the pool of Siloam. That was way back in chapter 5, I guess, wasn't it? Probably. Oh, I know. The parents said, go get the son, get my boy. He'll tell you. He's of age. Let him speak. Didn't they give some imperatives there about the boy? Mm-hmm. If I can find that, if we had our English, it'd help us to get there a little faster. Let's see, why don't you ask him to speak to his parents? They feared the Jews. They didn't want to confess him. We know, hoping that we know not. He's of age. Ask him. That's it. Verse 21, 9:21. Which word is that? 9:21. Ask him. He's of age.
Erotesate.
All right. Let me see. That's in 9:21. Is it? That look like an imperative. Erotesate. Is that what it is? Let me see.
Ask him.
Let me see. It's 9:21. Where is erotesate? Erotao, it's aorist imperative, isn't it? Ask him, erotesate. Yes, that's a good enough usage of it there. Erotesate. What type of imperative would that be? Imperative of command, of prohibition, of entreaty, or of permission? Auton erotesate.
That's probably entreaty. I don't think they would have commanded, would they?
Well, they are inferiors. I mean, he would be an inferior, I mean, to them, wouldn't he, as to their son. They would be their his parents, therefore the superior. They would certainly be in line with proper usage, right? You don't think they should... Oh, I see, but they were speaking with the other people, wouldn't they?
To the leader.
Yeah, ask him. It could be of entreaty.
If they were so much afraid of them, I thought they would be commanding.
Well, that's true. You're right. As far as a direct command, that's true. Imperative command route. Yeah, that's probably it'd be all right. Imperative entreaty to give a force of urgency or request. Increase our faith. Ask him. One of the two of those. Then let's go on to tense. Action is basically, well, we can't go too far in tense fact because we stopped and we ran out of pages in page 180. But that's basically the type of thing. Now, we just had a hit or miss, a very quick survey, but we've tried to show and illustrate what I'd like you to do, if you can, tomorrow, you know, next week. Just do the best you can. If you need some help on your translation of that verse that I give to you, you may use your lexicons. I'm not, you know, it's not something you have to memorize the whole 9 chapters of John and all the vocabulary and so on. And you can use Dana and Manny, open book on that. Is that clear as far as the type of thing? But I think it would be helpful just to sort of pinpoint. What I'd like you to do, if you can, is to refer in Dana and Manny to page and then the section, if you can, where you're referring to, and then give the name of whatever you think that might be. Make it as clear as you can. See, outline it. Here's the word you're looking at, and here's what I think it is. It's a nominative of whatever it is, and it's imperative, and this is what I think it is. So that way, I don't know, we'll take no longer than our regular 100 minutes there, hour and 40 minutes to do it. How many verses would you want to do it that way? And it's up to you. In other words, you can take a few and go in deeper, or take more and have less. What do you think would be a good portion? I'm just trying to think for that time frame. I don't want to bog you down too much. But 3 verses, you see what's involved in this. You may have to put 4 verses, with 5 verses. I don't know. We can try how the time is going and see what it moves on. I guess maybe I could give you 5 verses and you pick, you know, 3 out of the 5 and see how you do. If you got more time, we'll do the other 2, something like that. Because I think you see with a fine-tooth comb, it would take a little time to do all this because you're looking and searching and thinking and then wondering and so on. So let's say 3 to 5. That's a ballpark figure. Okay? Any other questions before we close? All right, would one of you please close in a word of prayer as the Lord leads you tonight, please?
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee and praise Thee for this opportunity that was given unto us to study the Word of God and this difficult language. Oh Father, we do thank Thee and praise Thee for the precious salvation which is given unto us through Jesus Christ our Lord. who was born to die for our sins and is risen from the dead, that we might be reconciled with God.
Yes.
Father, I would thank thee and praise thee for Dr. White, that he puts himself and his time with us and for us. And we thank thee for the students who are all together here, Ruth, Bill, and we pray that what we study here to remain in our hearts and our mind and to apply in our lives. Father, help us to use the Word of God, that the sinners might come to God and the believers might be strengthened and edified in their faith, but most of all, that the name of Jesus might be glorified in our lives. Father, forgive our sins. Cleanse us, wash us, sanctify us. Draw us closer to Thee. Bless us and make us a blessing, that we too can be a blessing for others. In Jesus' name and for His glory, to Thee we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Okay, thank you very much. Keep up the good work. We're moving right along in our...